Marblehead baseball coach Mike Giardi is joining us here on MSO News Sports. Mike, welcome. Thanks for taking time to share some information on Marblehead baseball.
Well, I don't want to give too much information, Bill. I don't want anybody figuring us out, you know what I mean? But obviously in baseball, it's a little different than other sports. You know, there's a lot of individual performances that stand out. It's not like you're running any special schemes like you might in basketball or football or any plays. We've just had some kids that have been swinging the bat pretty well, and our pitching's come around, which is really good for us.
Well, I know you had the one big loss early, but then you've had some big wins as well. So 3-1 on the year. And so you've been scheming the other two seasons of the year, but not so much this year in the springtime. But Mike, I guess tell us about the pitching turnaround, if you will, and drop some names for us and let's get some information on Marblehead baseball.
Yeah, you know, we started out the year, Ian Maude, who was probably our top starter last year, started our first game. It was a great game against Danvers for about five innings. It was 2-1. And then, you know, first game, Ian just got a little bit off track, hit a couple of guys, and before we knew it, the inning exploded. We were down, went from 2-1 to 8-1. We were facing a real good pitcher in Mike Maroney over at Danvers, and kind of, you know, cut it down to 8-4, and we thought we were right back in the game. And then Danvers just put up another big number, and the next couple innings really took it to us. And I think that's kind of the way the Northeast Conference is this year. Once, you know, if you can get people out of their normal rhythm, you can start getting deep into the bullpen, especially with the pitch count the way it is. Big numbers can come up on you really, really quick, and that's where we've kind of been able to do the last few games. Gloucester, we had that situation. Manchester Essex was their first game, so they weren't going to go too deep with too many pitchers. And then just the other day against Peabody, the same thing. You know, we just got deep into their bullpen. A lot of good swings by our guys. And Drew Whitman really came around the other day. He had a tough year last year. Tuesday against Peabody, had a great game. Five innings, real strong. Did a great job out on the mound, and we were really happy with his performance. Ian's, you know, he's going to be Ian. He's going to work really hard up on the mound, and we're starting to get some of the young guys getting some looks. And if we can get them, you know, one or two innings a game here or there, we'll find ourselves in really good shape, particularly on the pitching side. And I think, as anybody says, pitching is the big key. If you can throw strikes, you can throw outs. That's the big key for us.
You mentioned the pitching count rule. Tell me about that. How does that play?
Well, you know, we've gone to NFHS. The MIAA changed over to the National Federation of High School Sports, and they have certain pitch rules, which, to be honest, I think any good coach automatically knew whether a player was getting tired or sore and when not to abuse them. Unfortunately, there was a few coaches, you know, around the country that abused pitches. I jokingly would talk with my father about it. He's like, I used to throw a guy 150 pitches. I go, well, you can't do that anymore. So there's limitations. You know, after so many pitches, you have to take so many days off. I think the first cutoff is at 26 pitches. If you throw 26 pitches, you need a day off. If you throw anywhere above, you know, 70-some-odd pitches, you have to have 4 days off. So, you know, you got to really be mindful of what upcoming games you might have and try to get guys in there. You know, Ian Maude, the other day, he was up in the 70s, so, you know, once you get to a certain point where you know you're not going to have a guy for the rest of the week, you might want to run him a little bit longer just to get out there. And the weather's been pretty good, so we've been okay. But it does change the dynamics a little bit about how you approach games.
Yeah. You know, I was wondering if you were going to throw any coaches under the bus, but I didn't expect you to throw your dad under the bus. You're the legendary Salem High coach, yeah.
Yeah, it makes me laugh because, you know, years ago, as a kid, when I'd go to the games and you'd have guys out there, I mean, for a long time, you know, high school baseball, they played seven innings the first half of the year, and then when the weather got warmer, they would play nine innings. And he said, you know, we would pitch guys until they said that they were tired. And, you know, you'd always check on arms all the time, but he said, you know, guys like, you know, Stevie Pinto, Eddie Scheibe, and that, some great players that Salem had for years, Gussie Gonzalez, he says, they would be up there, you know, 80, 90 pitches. And, you know, when I played in high school, we had two phenomenal pitchers, Jeff Juden and Doug Canny. And Ray Chouinard was right behind him as our number three pitcher, but he rarely got on the mound just because, you know, Jeff and Dougie were literally like, Jeff would throw on Monday and then throw on Friday. Doug would throw Wednesday, and then he'd throw the following Monday and Friday. And it was, you know, they were up around 80, 90 pitches every game, and those were strikeout pitchers. But still, we burned through a lot of pitches then, but we never had any major issues with anybody. I think it's every kid's a little bit different. Unfortunately, some coaches abused it over the years.
Absolutely. Well, Mike, tell me about, just drop some names of some of your position players. We talked a bit about the pitching, but who else will contribute here to Marblehead this year?
Well, you know, in the field, Shane Keogh is one of our returning hitters. I mean, we lost six guys from our starting lineup of last year, so we're asking a lot of guys that have not necessarily seen the field. Shane saw that, you know, batted a lot last year for us, did a great job. He's already off to a great start. Four games, he's batting over 600 right now. He's got potential to play at the next level and play high up. You know, we're kind of new all around. We're asking a lot. David Bartram, who, you know, is a senior, hasn't seen much varsity experience. He's behind the dish for us. We're really focusing on catching, so we don't have him hit quite as often as we probably should. But we have a lot of good hitters. Chris Canusio's over at first base, and he's on the mound. As I said, Drew Whitman, he's been on the mound for us this year. Riley Smith, Skyler's younger brother, is over at third base. Drake Wyman is a center fielder. All new to the field, all been a part of our program. You know, a lot of juniors and seniors that just haven't been in action a lot. Somebody that's really stepped up for us that I'm really happy with is Charlie Sachs. Junior playing left field for us, has stepped up really well for us. And in the infield, you know, we had Stephen Shepard playing over at short the first game. He got hurt, though, unfortunately. And, you know, Bodie Bartram and you know, Brooks Keefe are two guys that have stepped in the middle of the infield. We knew Brooks was going to be there, and Bodie and Steph were going to probably be, you know, game in, game out, you know, whoever was feeling it. But, you know, Bodie's done a great job since Steph has been out the entire time. And we got some guys on the bench that probably should be on the field. But it's hard. You only have so many guys. You know, Jake Skoglund has done a great job for us. And, you know, and looking at that, as well as, you know, Matt Mahan is out there. Chris DeWitt has been our DH for most of the year. So, you know, one of the things that we have is some availability with some fielders and stuff like that. So it's been good for us.
Mike, if you possible, just give me a preview on tomorrow's Masco game. You're hosting them at Seaside Park at 4:00.
Yeah, you know, one of the things with Masco is, you know, great coach up there. You know, TJ Barrill has been around the league for a long time. He gets the game of baseball. It's funny, you know, TJ, you know, Johnny Cahill over at Beverly, you know, Joe Kapp over at Swampscott. We all know each other, played against each other at some level somewhere. He runs a solid program up there. They got a really, really good pitcher, you know, and they got a good program up there. We're not sure who we're going to face just yet. We haven't seen, you know, who might be available for pitching. You know, we post it up every day. But they really do have some real, real, real good players. And it's been a battle with them. And again, whoever's going to get after it is going to be the one. We're probably going to face Shirley, who's their number one pitcher, throws very, very well. And, you know, he's the type of guy that we're just going to have to be patient and really work counts and hopefully get deep into his pitch count and hopefully maybe get to that bullpen a little bit.
You know, I'm kind of following baseball, Mike, this spring here, but I'm really not hearing the definitive who's the number one team in the or will be the number one or two team in the conference come end of the year. What say you?
You know, what's funny is I was talking with Johnny Cahill the other day, and there's really, you know, Salem's got a great start. They're 3-1. You know, Beverly ended up beating them yesterday, but I don't think anybody's like that walk away. Like, you know, we talked about it for years. I mean, the teams that Johnny Cahill played on over at Peabody or the teams that I had in Salem, those were dominant teams just because of the pitching. I don't think you have that dominant 1-2. I think everybody's got a really good 1 and then a lot of, you know, kind of 2A type pitchers, you know, and it's who's ever on that day. So it's going to come down really to the end of the year and the matchups and seeing, you know, who can be in rhythm. I think the same thing with basketball this year. You know, you saw it where there's a lot of parity in the league. Nobody was like walk away great. A lot of solid teams, and it was whoever was on. I think the same thing with baseball.
Mike, let me close it out with this one last question. What's your take on the Major League Baseball pitch clock? Do you like it?
Well, it's funny. I came back after one of the games, and I was back here doing my stats, and I threw on the I threw on the Tampa game. I want to say it was two or three nights ago, and Tampa's starting a little bit early. They're starting at 6:40, and I was here at the school doing some work, and all of a sudden the guy goes, yeah, and that'll wrap it up. And I look at my watch. I go, man, it must be like 10 o'clock. I can't believe I'm at school this late. And I look down. It was 8:30. I go, man, this is great, except for the fact that I just missed the whole game because I was at school. I mean, it's good and bad, you know what I mean? So I think it's great because it gets the people to pay attention a lot more. You don't have that downtime where you can just be on your phone at a game or, you know, on the computer or worried about this and this. You really got to pay attention real quick.
No, you know, you're absolutely right. Though there was a game, I think the low-scoring game was like a two-hour, very, very close to 2 hours. And so that's the game I think you're referring to. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
It was amazing. But I do like, you know, we've always tried to tell kids there has to be a sense of urgency. You know, when you play, it doesn't mean you got to play out of control, but you got to have a purpose and a plan when you get there. And that plan can't be to take 20 minutes to get up to the plate. You know, we joke with the high school kids, there isn't going to be a standing ovation with all 35 fans that we have at a game. So get up to the plate, get ready to swing it, and pitchers get ready to throw, you know.
The humbling Mike Giardi. There you go. Absolutely. Well, Mike, thanks so much. We appreciate it. And we'll talk again soon, hopefully.
You got it. Thank you.
There he is, Mike Giardi, baseball coach at Marblehead.